Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just watched Season 7, Episode 2, titled Stormborn. What'd you think of it?
Boy, what a fun episode. I thought it was like...
Fun episode?
I've got some minor criticisms about how the last scene could have been more awesome.
Oh, the last scene? Huh. Okay.
But that's it. I actually love this. Just seeing all these, like, you know, John and Danny's war council kind of vetting each other and saying, yeah, this guy's cool. Yeah, he was cool to me. And I just thought that was cool. And then Arya meeting Nymeria. What do you think, man? It sounds like you don't love it as much as I do.
Maybe not quite, although I have problems with different scenes.
Okay.
It wasn't that the last scene wasn't awesome enough. It was that maybe it started off with maybe a little too much jetpack for my taste.
Okay.
It was like... everything, like, we're gonna get the Tarleys together and Cersei's gonna try and form an alliance with them.
Uh-huh.
Jaime's gonna do it. It all seemed to be happening really fast with mm-hmm. John and his ravens and all that.
Mm-hmm. The ravens, man.
Yeah, I guess they fly super fast.
They are faster than a peregrine falcon in dive.
They
speeds, 197 miles an hour, easy, and that's with a winter tailwind.
Yeah, so I had a little bit of a problem there, and then during the Missandei and Grey Worm scene, I was so distracted by the thinking about how is this going to play out? Like, what the fuck is going to happen when they get their clothes off?
Cecily, the whole time, she was like, how is this going to work? How is this going to work? And then when he started going that side, she goes, that'll work.
Of course, of course. That's how we should have seen it coming. But yeah, I don't know, and then the rest of it was awesome. I liked it.
Right. I mean, because I'm like, are they going to show us the Kindal?
That's why I was so distracted.
Yeah,
I was like, when
how
are they
going
to? What
visualized?
Are they going to do?
Like, and also, like, you know, our culture being what it is, that would be something else to like film yourself unsexed, you know, for like a male performer. I thought that, and all these things
unsexed,
I was thinking,
like, oh, just with like a green sock on it, or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just like try to get in that headspace, I guess.
Right. I mean, you're talking most male stars that pose like the full Monty, they have a prosthetic penis. Like,
sure.
Mark Wahlberg, prosthetic penis. Hodor, prosthetic penis.
Right.
Because apparently their real penis was not
a foot long and 6 inches.
And that's
circumference.
What you that's that was. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of it's a little fucked up.
Yeah, but I thought they both actually did a really, really good job in that scene.
I did too.
Like, you know, you don't have to necessarily show it for him to get in that headspace. He's got to do it, right?
Right.
So he's got to act that way. And I think that was great. And the way Missandei reacted to it and everything, I thought, I don't know. I really thought that scene was good.
And there
was I was very distracted.
And, you know, I think Game of Thrones gets a fair share of fairly deserved criticism about, you know, how they had their diversity amongst their cast and being insensitive in some storylines. But... Mm-hmm. I thought it was, you know, interesting, like, around Dany's council, you've got, like, two eunuchs, a dwarf, you know, four women of all different ages, all different sexual orientations, mm-hmm. and there's not, like, your conventional dude at the table, and they're calling the shots and doing it. I'm like,
that's true.
That's
yeah.
actually kind of, like, real, and they've established all these characters as, like, badasses in mm-hmm. their way. Like, Lady Olenna, yeah. you know her fucking credentials. You know where all of her bodies are. So,
right.
you know,
John's
it
on his
felt,
way to round
it
out.
It felt like it was all earned. It's yeah. like, you know, no explanation. No, like, it's just like, oh, yes, this feels right.
Yeah.
And I thought that, I just love that.
Yeah, I really, really liked the final scene a lot.
Uh-huh.
I thought
Euron
right. is a force to be reckoned with, like, both militarily and also just one-on-one.
They really needed to establish him, and they sure did in, like, uh-huh. a single scene. Not just the ferocity. Yeah, his boats, like, we were talking about, what is that? We knew
yeah.
that there was something tricky up with that, and it's like a fucking... It's Bowser's Bridge from like any Super Mario Bros. Castle.
Uh-huh.
It's just going to smash you. And...
Yeah, it's like a combination ram and also a bridge to board
and
with.
A hook,
like,
so that the ship
you can't
get
away.
Yeah.
yeah.
But
not, cool.
not only was the ferocity to combat, but his maniacal laugh at Theon
yeah.
turning craven and running was like, with all the his face lit by fire, it was...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's something. It was. I've been watching a lot of Twin Peaks lately. I almost would say it's like David Lynchian weirdo Black Lodge kind of shit. His face in that moment as he's just laughing with glee. Great, great scene.
Yeah, it was great.
However,
huh,
my only problem with it is, like, so you know how this season was amazing. Like, I can't really take anything from it except for this. Imagine if they had done a better job establishing the Sand Snakes and Euron.
Yeah, right.
Where that this was like something like, oh my god, the fucking Sand Snakes and Yara, mm-hmm, and Euron and his crazy, oh my god, like the, yeah, anticipation. There was none of that, and it still worked like gangbusters. So maybe the Double D's are like, well, fuck you, Aaron.
Yeah,
and we pulled it off by the skin of our teeth, granted, but we pulled up. But I'm just like, man, sometimes I'm like, if they hadn't fucked up the Sand Snakes so bad,
mm-hmm,
this would have been 10 times the scene, and it was already awesome.
Yeah, and I don't think they recovered. Like, anytime they open their mouths, I'm rolling my,
yep,
eyes. And the same,
like,
was true of this episode.
Their banter about their mom is like, oh,
yeah,
my god.
Why it's all cringy.
Why can't they do better than that?
I don't know. I think it's the accents. I think they're not actual accents, and they're actors who are not good at doing accents.
But they just also, some of that god dialogue is just so goofy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like,
it is.
It's so weird because the rest of the production is so aces, it sticks, uh-huh, out like a
it
sore
does.
Thumb.
The one maybe criticism I have of like the battle is that it kind of comes out of nowhere, which I get it. We're supposed to see it from Yara's point of view.
Uh-huh.
It's supposed to be a surprise. But I think, like, I'm wondering how the hell he found them.
Mm.
I guess he figured, like, they'd be going to Casterly Rock.
It does feel – well, I mean, so I don't know. In this world – there could be some trickery or some sorcery involved.
You think so?
Or there could be an intercepted raven. I don't know. I think you're right. I think I was calling that, like, how the hell would he come across this fleet that he should have not known anything about?
Yeah.
Unless there's a spy in the mix or whatever, but I'm having to invent reasons. Why would he happen upon that at the dead of night,
mm-hmm,
with this overwhelming force? Like, that's crazy hard to do.
Yeah. It sure is. We just watched Master and Commander, and I'm like,
right,
man, even in broad daylight, this shit's hard to pull off.
Yeah, so I wonder if we're going to find out that there was some betrayal or there,
maybe,
was, you know, some kind of black magic.
It's
kind
Varys.
Of stuff.
How about that? Yeah, that scene with Varys, kind of having to prove himself to Dany.
Good.
Both of those actors just crushing it there.
And that's like... Because, you know, there was a lot of – we were talking about all these reunions and what are people going to say when they find out this. And I like that tension is being introduced, but everyone's handling it like fucking adults.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like fucking adults. Like this is the difference between this and The Walking Dead. They both, mm-hmm, kind of get, you know, high-minded gobbledygook, but – like everyone in The Walking Dead or everybody in Game of Thrones just comes off like an adult. Like Jon and Sansa arguing back and forth and all the lords, like, you know, I felt like that was like a totally legit strong leadership kind of thing. And then, mm-hmm, passing the torch to Sansa was excellent. And
made,
all
made
of
total sense.
Yeah. All of Dany. And then you contrast that with like Cersei,
mm-hmm,
like Jon and Dany's war parties seem like they've got good heads on their shoulders. And you go to Cersei and it's fucking, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit and appeals to emotion and shitting your pants over any kind of logic.
Yep.
And, you know.
And no honor.
There's, right.
No loyalty.
Right.
It's all cutthroat over there. And it's, yeah, it's going to get them killed.
Yeah.
And it's gonna lose them their power.
Yeah.
And it'll be glorious to see it happen.
Right, right, right.
So here's the one thing I wish that Jon and Sansa would do,
uh-huh,
is maybe have a fucking discussion before these meetings. Like,
well,
you can't come out of last meeting as Jon and expect to surprise Sansa with this.
Exactly.
And her to keep her mouth shut.
Exactly.
You cannot expect,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
You have to tell her,
because,
ahead of time,
and
what
they
you
showed
plan
us,
to do.
They showed them having the
and
meeting.
And have that conversation.
They showed them having the meeting where that conversation should have come up.
Right. Right.
But then,
Jon, and I blame Jon for this, like, if he's not going to tell Sansa what the fuck he plans on doing, then,
right,
he can't tell her to,
yeah,
stop undermining him.
We can't keep secrets from me. Oh, by the way, his King of the North accent's getting little. It's little Swedish chef there on the edges. I feel like, and the thing that's dumb about that is if they had filmed that back and forth with Jon and Sansa, they, mm-hmm, would have looked like even more mature, intelligent adults. And then,
right,
it was going to be controversial pitching it to the lords. They could then have, like, they would have each other's back.
Right.
So the lords would be having the argument, you know, the Sansa side of the argument, and Sansa and Jon are making these united front.
Yep.
I don't know why. Like, why is that more dramatic? I don't feel like it is.
No, I don't. I agree with you.
It just feels
like
a shit show that John has to bail himself out of.
It feels like John being stupid.
Yes.
Like, and demanding too much of Sansa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, not to speak her mind when she's just totally blindsided by these things, you know? So.
Another thing I loved was Arya finding out that Winterfell has been liberated and her beloved half-brother John is now king in the North.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sitting there meeting with Hot Pie and eating her pies, and they're like veiled conversation about all the different shit that she's done. Was beautiful, and then her deciding to go back to Winterfell, I was genuinely moved. And then fucking the Mirror and her crew show up, and it was insane.
It just gets even better, yeah.
It's so good. It's so what was your interpretation of their meeting?
My interpretation is that Nymeria made the same decision Arya would,
mm-hmm.
which is to go her own way.
Right. And, like, so you don't think Arya is going to go to Winterfell?
Yeah. I mean, it's entirely possible that Nymeria just changed her mind.
Because I could go either way. I could either be like, because the behind the scenes, the Double D's pointed out that, like, you know, Arya saying that's not you was a mirror of Eddard Stark, you know, telling Arya, hey, I'm going to find you a nice prince, and he's going to be brave mm-hmm. and loyal, and he'll protect you. And she's like, that's not me.
Yeah.
So I could either go that this is going to inspire Arya, that I am a dire wolf off Stark, and I'm going to go to King's Landing, and I'm going to do my own shit, and I'm not going to have the nice family reunion, because that's not what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could see her saying that this is the difference between me and the wolf. I'm not an ant. I'm going to go do right by my family, and you know, like I could go either way. That symbolism.
Yeah, it's interesting because Nymeria is surrounded by a pack,
right?
Of wolves.
Right.
So you could see Arya translating that into I need to get back together with Jon and Sansa.
I think that's you just solved it for me. I think that's what
with all this stuff with all the lone wolves.
You're right.
Whatever.
You're right, because that's Nymeria. Nymeria already has her pack. She doesn't want to be taken away from it. So yeah, that's, you're right.
She might head up to Winterfell.
I think she should.
I want to see that.
Because Cersei ain't going nowhere.
That's true.
But letting your brother know that he's got an Arya up his sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
That can shift faces and do all that
also,
crazy stuff.
Also, got to get Littlefinger's face somehow.
Yeah.
And that's where Littlefinger is. So
yep.
Keep going, Arya.
How much... I so enjoyed the fact that it's now canon that Littlefinger has a multi-generational track record of Stark men beating the shit out of him for stepping to their women folk.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know... like Brandon Stark, what the fuck are you doing with my betrothed here? I'm gonna beat the shit out. I'm only not killing you because Kat's saying not to, dude.
Right.
And now John's like, I will kill you if you touch my sister. It's great. How many dudes can say that? Two different generation of men beat me up because I hit and inappropriately moved in on women they were close
not
to.
Not a lot. The number's not high.
Yeah. Yeah, Littlefinger's in rarefied air.
Sure
rarefied
is.
Air. He's not long. He's not making it out of this season, right?
I seriously doubt it.
He's just increasingly sounding desperate.
He is, and I don't think Jon evacuating Winterfell is going to help him at all. I think Sansa, you know, is not on board with him.
Yeah, but I guess Littlefinger. Because here's the thing. I don't know. Like, Littlefinger couldn't order the Knights of the Vale to oust Sansa.
I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't think so either. That would be kind of like violation of guest right. There would be a whole bunch of different... I don't think Littlefinger's got that kind of mojo. Worst he could do is withdraw his support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you believe that with Jon out of Winterfell... that Littlefinger can get inside her ear and, like, start, even though she's resisting and she sees it coming, he's so fucking good at twisting people's skulls that he'll have a shot at that?
I really don't think so.
I don't either.
The way that Sansa's been acting toward him, I think there is a thick wall there.
Yeah, I'm not saying I would reject that as a storytelling device, mm-hmm. but I would be disgusted by it.
Yeah.
Because, good Christ, How naive do you need to be to trust anything that Littlefinger says?
For sure. I don't think she's that naive anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm also looking for Littlefinger's pivot because I know he's going to try something.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
I think he was trying to get his hooks in John, but it didn't work.
So do you think he's got one last bang in his tank?
I think so. He's going to try something, it's not going to work, and he's going
to
die.
Okay, that's okay. Him trying something, but I don't even think it's going to get to, like, it's a Rube Goldberg contraction and contraption.
Uh-huh.
And the first domino, like, doesn't hit the next one.
Right.
It, like, just fails at a very elemental level, and, you know, John's Kingsguard surrounds him, and it's off with his head. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he's going to do anything, like, poison someone significant, and, of course, watch me eat my words, but...
Could be.
I feel like he's out of gas. He's coasted as far as he can get, and now he's, you know, when... Cersei gave him the lecture about power, like what real power is.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's about to find out the difference between soft and hard power.
Right.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim, order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar, then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of King's Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Our coverage of Hot D, Fire and Blood, and the 1980s Shogun miniseries continues. But then on Tuesday, for the first time in 35 years, we asked a question. Who framed Roger Rabbit? Hop aboard the train to Toontown as we revisit this incredible blending of live action and animation to see if it still holds up all this time later.
Then on Wednesday, we get our first look at Blake Crouch's mind-bending sci-fi series, Dark Matter. First two episodes drop simultaneously on Apple TV Plus, and we'll have a pair of podcasts quantumly linked ready for you to observe.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app. Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if very special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
All Yeah, the thing that I'm really excited for that they set up in this episode is the Siege of King's Landing.
Uh-huh.
Because that battle is going to be fucking awesome.
Right. Now,
with Qyburn working on ballistas.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's got a good shot at taking out a dragon.
Right, right. And I mentioned in the spoiler podcast that, because people ask me, like, you know, how do you kill dragons? And I mentioned that, like, that scorpion or ballista is a historically canon way that you can kill dragons.
Yeah.
Dragons on dragons, best way. But right. If you got those big old dragon spears that can pierce dragon skulls, that's probably second best.
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting. What about Sam's radical rejuvenation, his upper dermal abrasion technique for curing grayscale?
All of Sam's scenes are so fucking disgusting this season.
They really
and
are.
And they're doing the same thing this episode where they cut between the oozing wound and the food. And I'm I'm so glad this doesn't air during dinner time,
dude,
because I couldn't eat.
Fuck that transition from the pus to the pie.
It was so gross.
It was a couple hours after dinner time, but it was about to come up because that was out of nowhere.
I was like,
and so,
what is he digging out of his chest? Oh, it's a pie. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dragon scale or grayscale pie.
Yeah, so clearly this is going to work, right?
It's like, going to work, but
he's going to cure it.
But to what end?
Yeah.
Like, we've talked about possibilities, like, well, that would enable him to safely travel to Old Valeria to get some kind of Old Valerian bullshit. But I thought that theory died when, like, Dany took control of her dragons, you know? There's all kinds of theories of how she'll learn secrets of dragon training, she'll learn find some magical item, but, like, she's got control of her dragons.
Yeah, she does. I just think maybe he'll help Sam out.
Someone said that there was a suggestion on one of the I forget which blog I read it on, but they're saying that it could open up the door to go to Old Valeria and cure all those stone men, and you'd have this new army that would fight, I guess, because they would all decide to fight for you. Or maybe they're all still mine. I don't know. Like that there's problems with that theory.
Yeah, I don't know what curing it means necessarily.
Right.
Does it mean stopping the progression of it? Because if that's the case, the Valerian army probably wouldn't be of any use to you because they're all
mindless.
Insane. Yeah.
I mean, they'd just be shock troops, but is that ethical?
I mean, what did you drop them?
Just use them like walkers in The Walking Dead. You just bust truckfuls of them and unleash them inside
Maybe.
The gates of your enemies. I don't know. Yeah. It seems crazy to me. There's one other thing I wanted to talk about, and I'm
how about
trouble.
The dragon bones under King's Landing? That was cool.
Yeah, Balerion
really
the Dread. That was. I think I remember.
Seen those.
Yeah, Arya was hiding amongst them when she overheard Varys and Illyrio discussing stuff in the sub basements in season one.
Yeah,
but I don't know if we saw the big Balerion because I felt like it wasn't that big and impressive.
No,
that's actually a little bit like seems like it's twice as big as Drogon right now.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
I was thoroughly impressed by those. It looked really cool.
Yeah. I'm curious if it's possible to kill that big of a dragon with the ballistica.
Yeah, because you got to imagine there's some, rot on those bones.
Yeah.
Those aren't, like, living dragon bones.
Yeah.
Might be a little tougher.
Yeah. Yeah. They're brittle.
Yeah.
They've lost their resilience. Plus, they're not covered in plate dragon scale. I mean, that's the other thing.
Yeah. Some thick hide.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing, but I guess I was getting to the point that, like, it's clear, surely that Jorah and this whole experiment must be important to the plot in a big way, because you're using a lot of valuable time and storytelling to express all this.
Sam's scenes are some of the slowest that this episode was, not in a bad way, just, like,
I settled into
that scene,
and
I really enjoyed it, but... Yeah, you're right. He must factor in somewhere big. Other than just, hey, there's a mine of dragon glass under Dragonstone.
So here's one other question I want to debate with you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not like take it all the way to the map, but just I want to get your opening arguments for the podcast on Tuesday.
Okay.
Is John, like knowing that he doesn't know everything about Dany that we do, is John smart for going down there himself to meet with Dany in her ancestral stronghold?
No, he's desperate.
Do you think... what do you think would be a play that would actually work and be less risky? Because I got in mind a good one.
That's a good question. Maybe I can come up with something for Tuesday's podcast.
Okay. All right. Because my idea was like, why send Sansa?
Uh-huh.
And if Dany gives you the least bit of shit for the disrespect, say, you know, all due respect, Your Grace, but the last two times,
yeah,
the King of the North or the Lord Paramount has gone that south. He's been betrayed and killed,
mm-hmm,
by your dad and by this other fuckface and you know, Bolton and DeFreys, and then also your fucking Joffrey Lannister. So it's like, I feel like there's no way Dany can say shit to that.
Yeah,
like, because she's, unless she's a terrible ruler, and then what? You're super smart for sending Sansa instead of the king.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to think about that one, because I do think he's making a mistake.
Yeah.
Though, I think it's going to play out in his favor,
right?
Because of what I know about Dany.
That's the thing.
He doesn't know that, and I think he is actually making a mistake by going there.
Especially since he's just on thin ice with his people, because this, mm-hmm, is something they all think is stupid, and I just don't think he says only a king can convince her. I mean, the only problem with sending Sansa is that she hasn't seen the Night's King.
Right.
And she hasn't seen the Army of the Dead.
Send the Night's King. That king might convince her.
Yeah, bottle him up. But I almost think that even Davos.
Yeah. Davos is a great negotiator.
Like, look, I was the hand. I don't mean any disrespect. He could give the same speech. Like, I was the hand to Stannis, and I served him because I knew this other big thing, you know, was this thing with the Night's King and all that shit, and he could give just as convincing, I think.
Yeah.
And we know that Dany is a reasonable person, so the only problem, I guess, is I felt like Dany overstepped her bounds by asking Jon to bend the knee.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's going to light him up either. I think they're going to talk it out.
I hope so.
I really do.
I hope so, but
and
I feel
come to the conclusion like Varys and her did, mm-hmm, that they want the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's a negotiation tactic, is like ask for the moon so you can always, yeah, leave room to the compromise. But I felt like it was pretty cheeky, mm-hmm, that you're suggesting an alliance because you are in a relatively, I mean, you got the Three Dragons, that's a strong position, but you have a relatively weak position for the goal that you want, which is to capture the kingdoms without any bloodshed.
Yeah.
And to be like, yeah, I'll do this and also bend the knee. That was a little strong.
It was.
A little strong. Anything else we want to talk about?
No, I think that's it for the instant
take. I felt like the Tarleys are going to go for the Lannisters.
Because I think
that,
so.
That was, I was thinking from their perspective, that's a pretty good, even if you hate Cersei, you know, the truth is they are bringing this foreign army and bringing the Mad King's daughter, putting it like that's probably uncomfortable for a lot of lords in Westeros. So
for sure, yeah.
I felt like it wasn't, you know, that was my question, is like, how are they going to get Randall Tarly, who is a son of a bitch, but he's kind of like Ned-like in his honor and his personal integrity.
Right.
I mean, he's a complete asshole, but, mm-hmm, he's like, he's got a rigid sense of, like, you know, this code, and he actually walks it. And I'm like, how are they going to have him rebel against his lady? But like, I felt like that's a pretty good argument.
Yeah.
It swayed me. Mm-hmm. All right. We probably almost did too much on this instant take.
Yeah, no, I think it was good. I enjoyed the episode. I'm excited to talk about it in more detail on Tuesday. Yeah.
Had a lot of fun. I hope everybody, yeah, else did too. The one, something maybe for the spoiler section is, if you watch the behind the scenes, Dan and David, the Double D's, make a lot of references to when we were writing and when we were deciding, and like, I was just like, oh my God, these guys are freestyling so hard.
Yeah.
They have nothing to go on. And I'm like, you know, and even if you hate what they're doing, like, remember, they did not sign up to film shitty George Martin fan fiction.
Right.
They signed up to adapt his works to the screen. This is, if anyone's to blame for this going off the rails, it's fucking George at a root level.
Yeah, no, they did a great job of adapting everything. Yeah,
and
I am
super, like, two episodes in, I am very pleased and super entertained, because I thought this episode,
yeah,
really made up for the one criticism of last, which is maybe nothing really happened.
Uh-huh.
So good on them. I'm excited for the podcast this week and to get to next week already.
Yeah, me too. All right, well, we will see you guys on Tuesday for the full podcast. Until then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. Bye-bye. Hey, everybody, if you liked our content tonight, please consider joining our club at club.baldmove.com. It's a great way to support us as independent podcasters. It's the only way that we're able to bring you the breadth of coverage that we do at baldmove.com. And you get a lot of extra features. Like, if you like hearing Jim and I talk, we've got general interest podcasts. We've got special things where we do let's plays of video games. We've got quips where we pitch imaginary television shows to each other on a monthly basis. We got video versions of the podcast. You can watch us record them live. Ad-free feeds, so much more at club.baldmove.com. And also, we're throwing 25% off from now until July 31st for Game of Thrones fans. If you go to club.baldmove.com, use the promo code GOT2017 on checkout, you get 25% off your annual club membership. Club.baldmove.com. Thanks for your support.